2 weeks strong. I told y'all we're back every week. I think I'm gonna do Saturday, every Saturday, Imperfect Podcast upload. How's everybody doing? My name's Nate Estrada, host of the Imperfect Podcast, where I don't even know what to say about us. We just talk about God. I'm a 21-year-old college student who's looking to share the word of God, disciple, evangelize, and whatnot. And I'm looking to spread knowledge, spread my studies, spread the things that I know, and be an example to others of my age, but not just my age, because the Bible and faith is not restricted to young people. I just want to talk about God. You know, last episode I said I feel a lot better when I talk about the Bible because I dedicate time to study more, even though I've been studying. But I dedicate time to prepare for these episodes. I indulge in the Word of God and I feed my spirit with the Word of God. And like I also said last episode, I've been on a pretty long hiatus because I felt called to stop what I was doing with the podcast and fix some things about it. I need to make it more Bible-centered. I need to make sure I'm correct in the things I say, make sure things I'm saying are backed up by scripture, and I need to strengthen my knowledge of the scriptures, so I took a pretty long break. There's also a lot of podcasts out there, some good, some bad. Last episode, I mentioned Amy Moore, one of my favorites. I'm very glad I found her while I was introduced to her podcast, and she's inspired me to start my podcast again and get on here and start talking about God into this microphone and teach and evangelize. And again, I have to shout out Asia for helping me discover my passion for teaching and potentially becoming a pastor. So, that being said, last episode we talked about changing your perspective, specifically about how Joseph changed his perspective when his brothers had betrayed him, and over all the years he did not have any, he got rid of any animosity or any hard feelings he had towards them. And at the end of Genesis, in Genesis 50 verse 20, he basically said, "Your evil was meant to harm me, but it was in God's plan so that I could be here to save all the Egyptians." So basically my point was to say, change your perspective on the things you're going through, because the things you're going through are part of God's plan, and there's a good reason for the things that happen. It may not make sense in the moment, but in the end, it'll make a lot of sense. So with that being said, we're going to stick with Genesis for about two more episodes, including this one. I wanted to talk about Abraham now. I will talk about Abraham next episode, but in this episode, I want to talk about how he had to let go of Ishmael and Hagar, and I'll get into the details a little bit later, but first, let us pray. Dear God, today has been a great day for me, God. Today is March 19th, 2025, and it has been a great day for me. I pray that the person listening is having a great day as well, whenever they are listening and whenever this episode comes out. Pray for blessings over the person that is listening to my voice right now, and I pray that you put your hand over their heart, heal whatever hurt they are experiencing. Give them blessings, give them light, show them your love and your mercy, God. Please forgive them for any sins or transgressions they may have committed, may not have recognized, or may recognize. Please forgive me for my sins that I have committed, and that I recognize and don't recognize, God. I pray to use this podcast, use myself, use my voice as your instrument to teach your children about your word and about your knowledge and about your love. Please use this podcast to reach out to somebody that needs you, somebody that has lost you, and somebody that needs to find you ASAP. This is not for my glory. This is for your glory, God. This podcast is meant to glorify you, glorify your works and your love for us, God. Pray this message comes across the listener clearly. I pray that they understand it well. And if not, I pray that I can communicate with them, clear up anything or correct anything I say, God. Thank you for giving me the technology to do this podcast and the opportunity to evangelize and disciple via the internet and via podcast form. Thank you for everything you've done for me, God. Thank you for everything you've done for this listener, God. Please bless all of us. Please give us your grace and your mercy and your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, guys. Now I'm fired up. Prayer is so good. Okay. So Abraham, Next episode, I'll do a little bit of a deeper dive on the life of Abraham, but I'm gonna do a quick rundown. So, God comes to Abraham in Genesis and says, "I've basically chosen you to be the father of many descendants in a land I'm going to give you. That land is Canaan." And he says, "Take your wife, your family, your servants, anybody you have with you, leave your father's land, which is Ur, and go to Canaan." And mind you, Abraham is the son of a very pagan man. The word pagan basically means man of the world, person of the world, a sinly person. Sinly, I don't even know if that's a word. Sinful, yeah, that's a word. He grew up in a house of sin. So our good and loving father came down to Abraham and said, "You're the chosen one. Get up and go over here and trust me." So I think a theme of Abraham's life is testing out your faith, and that's going to be next episode's. I actually did an episode on testing of your faith, but it's going to be like a little bit different next episode. We're going to talk about Abraham's test of faith and how that relates to us. But as Abraham is getting up and going, and throughout the whole life of Abraham, God constantly comes back to Abraham and reassures him, "You are going to be blessed. Your descendants will be blessed. Excuse me. You will have many children, and they will all be blessed." And the catch here is Abraham is very old, and so is his wife, Sarah. They're both, well, Sarah's past the age of giving birth, and Abraham's old, so it's like, what are they doing having sex and giving birth at that old age? As a matter of fact, Abraham doesn't have a son until he's 100 years old. Wait, hold on. Let me make sure I'm right about that. Yes, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth. Isn't that crazy? But we don't call God crazy. We call God amazing. Over the life of Abraham, over this entire story, God's constantly reassuring, "You will have a son through Sarah. You will have many descendants. He will have many descendants. They will all be blessed." And Abraham has no idea who God is. God literally just like randomly appeared and said, "Trust me." There's even a point where Abraham said, "God, this sounds unbelievable. I'm old. My wife is old. I want to trust you, but it's just so hard to believe that I'm going to have a son at this old, ripe age." So God shows him. God says, "Look at all the stars. That's the amount of children that you have." He shows him what it's going to look like to have many descendants. So he gets visual reassurance. He gets constant verbal reassurance. And even throughout all this time, Sarah doubts it. And in Genesis, let me look at my notes real quick. Bear with me, guys. Okay, Genesis 17. Wait, hold on. Genesis 16, my bad. Right after God had reassured to Abraham visually that he will have a son, Sarah doesn't believe this, so she takes her slave or servant named Hagar, and she says, "Abraham, take Hagar. She's younger. Have a child with her so you can have your son." And Abraham does this, and this is against God's command, because God said he's going to have a son through Sarah. And what, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like Adam and Eve when Eve said, "Hey, Adam, eat this fruit." Men, we need to lock in. These early men of the Bible had a few issues, so let's lock in, learn from them, and stand up, guys. Anyways, Hagar immediately gets pregnant, and she gives She gives birth to a son named Ishmael. So Abraham and Sarah are like, "Ha, I have a son." And then God comes down and says, in chapter 17, he says, No, I told you, you will have a son through Sarah. Not this son, not Ishmael. He says, "Your heir will come from Sarah, which will soon be Isaac." So, God also says that Ishmael will be blessed. However, it won't be the same. He'll be fruitful. He'll multiply. He'll be blessed. He'll be the father of 12 princes, which will turn into 12 tribes. However, not a lot of people like Ishmael, so it'll be a little bit different than Isaac. So fast forward to Genesis chapter. Where is it? Hold on. Bear with me. Pretty sure. Yes. Genesis 21, at the age of 100. And when Abraham's 100 and Sarah's 90, they give birth. Well, Sarah gives birth to her son Isaac. So, God fulfills his promise. God gives him the blessing that gives Abraham the blessing that he promised. So, let's get into kind of the main point. That was kind of like my rundown of the like life of Abraham a little bit. It took like, what, 5 minutes? Something like that. Doesn't matter. You're still your listener. So, Sarah gives birth to Hagar. My gosh. Sarah gives birth to Isaac. And in verse 8, in Genesis 21, verse 8, it says that Isaac weaned. And weaning basically means that Isaac survived the early days of his childhood, which mostly likely meant that he was around a toddler around this time. And that's noteworthy because around this time, in ancient times, historical times, a lot of toddlers didn't survive this period. Like, a lot of mothers breastfed their children until they're about 2 or 3 years old. So it was a pretty big thing that Isaac survived these early times of childhood. So it was so monumental that Abraham threw a great feast. And at that feast were a lot of Abraham's family and servants that also included Hagar and Ishmael. Throughout all this time, it's Isaac being the chosen one through Sarah's birth. And then onto the side is Hagar and Ishmael. And it's important to note that Ishmael is Abraham's son. Like, it's kind of like all the focus is on Isaac, but Abraham as a father is like, yo, I still love my son Ishmael. So at this party, something happens. For one, Ishmael's a lot older than Isaac is. So at the party, hold on, look at my notes, guys. There was a conflict basically where Ishmael had bullied Isaac, like made fun of him. He was mocking him. I found my notes. He was mocking him. And Sarah saw this and it made her very mad. And she went to Abraham and said, why is this child here? Why is this slave / Hagar here? Send him out. And Abraham is troubled because he loves Ishmael and he also cares for Hagar, but most importantly, Ishmael is his son. He loves his son Ishmael. So he's like, I don't want to send him out. And by send him out, when Sarah says send him out, she basically meant freedom of their slavery and send them wandering in the wilderness with their freedom and like make them find out life on their own. So Abraham, something that we're going to get into next episode by Abraham is Abraham's a very caring person. When his brother Lot was caught captive by some kings that raided Sodom and Gomorrah, he took up about an army of, I think, 70 people at his old age and went to a big fight to free Lot and the other people that were captured and get all their belongings back. Abraham is a very loving person. So he loves his son. He doesn't want to send him off in the wilderness just wandering with no direction with Hagar. But then God comes to him and says, I told you, I'm going to bless Ishmael. He's going to be fruitful, multiply. He'll be blessed. People just won't like him. Like, they'll like Isaac. So, in this moment, God's basically telling Abraham, you have to let go. You have to let go. I don't know if I gave a title to this episode yet, but if I did, here's the title. You have to let go and give it to God. Abraham had to let go of his beloved son, technically his firstborn. He had to let go of his beloved firstborn son and trust that God would care for him and Hagar in the wilderness. And I don't know about you all, but me, I'm a very loving person like Abraham. Like, as I study Genesis, I like grew an emotional attachment to Abraham because, like, as I was reading Genesis 21 and studying it, I was shedding tears because in this moment, I know how hard it is to like let go of someone you love. It may be a friend, maybe a relationship. Hopefully it's not a family member, but we all have relationships or people that we deeply care for. But at the same time, we may know that they may not be meant to be in our lives, or they need to go. Or I know one thing I struggle with is I stress over other people that I care about. I stress about their well-being. Like when they tell me about certain situations they're going through, I like kind of get sad about it, or I grieve over the fact that they're going through this down moment in life. And it's a lot of people tell me, Nate, you shouldn't get too, like, this isn't your responsibility. There's no need to be sad about it and all that. Like, it's their life. There's no need to be worked up about it. And they are right. However, I'm not going to neglect my loving and caring personality. That's simply not something I will do. However, I will do what Abraham had to do, and I will acknowledge when it's time to let go and trust that God will take care of them. It's time for them to exit my life. And I think from my life experiences, I don't think there's ever been a case where there's somebody I cared. Yes, there has. There's been times where I let go of people that are going through things, and I wanted to stay and care for them, but I had to let them go because it was probably a burden on myself or it was a distraction. And I had to trust that they will find their own way in life and that God will take care of them. So, yeah, that's something we have to do. That's something we have to learn from Abraham, because that's exactly what Abraham did. Abraham had put all of his trust in God, and the next day after this party, he sent, he gave Hagar and Ishmael their freedom. They were no longer slaves to Abraham and Sarah. Sent them out to the wilderness. He sent them out with donkeys, with water and bread and food, so that they weren't just starving. And he trusted God. And it may not seem that hard, but letting go of something or someone, that is very hard. Like, to get up and say, this person I'm so attached to and I love and care about, it's time for you to go. That's real hard. Like, yeah. Like, I can't. That's really hard. That's real hard. But basically, he sent them out. And one of Abraham's fears kind of came true. Hagar ran out of water. Ishmael and Hagar ran out of water as they were wandering in the wilderness. So bread and water. Yeah, they ran out of water. Look at my notes. So, like, they're sitting there in the wilderness, and Ishmael needs water, and Hagar's like, sit here, I'll go find water. But really what Hagar did was went away to weep out to God because she didn't want her son to die. So God hears his weep, and he comes down to comfort her, and he says that he will bless her and her. He reassures her that he will bless her and her son, just like he had told Abraham. So then, as she opens her eyes from weeping with God, there's a well full of water. Another moment that God proved that he keeps his promises. You see it all throughout Genesis, but right here, Abraham doesn't get to see this. He doesn't get to, like, that's the hard part about it, guys. Like, you don't get to see every blessing that God has promised. Like, Abraham didn't even get to see that God promised. What am I trying to say? When Abraham went to Canaan, he was a foreigner, and his descendants were foreigners for a long while. So he didn't get to see that Canaan, the land of Canaan, was given to him as a promised land. He still had to trust God that blessing was going to happen. And that's, like I said, it's so hard. Like, you have to trust that God will take care of them when you let go of them. And you're not gonna know for real how God is blessing them. You just have to trust that's happening. You may reconcile or reconvene, or that's what I'm looking for. You may meet up with that person down the road, like in a few years, and then catch up with them, find out things are going well. But I'll put it this way. The mere fact that if you see that person down the road, the mere fact that they're alive is a proof of the fact that God has blessed them and kept them safe, because they're still alive and breathing. That's a blessing alone. Don't look for too big of blessings from God. I mean, don't doubt God's abilities, because he just sat here and gave Sarah a child at the age of 90 and Abraham a child at the age of 100. But I think we as Christians sometimes forget that miracles are big and small. Like, us waking up every day, that is a miracle. us breathing clean air, having clean water. Guys, Flint, Michigan still doesn't have clean water, as far as I know. You know how much of a blessing it is that you get to wake up and have clean water? No offense to Flint, Michigan. I pray and hope y'all get clean water. But some small things we don't view as blessings, but we really should. We take them for granted and just like, oh, it's nothing. But the moment, like look at COVID per se. The moment your social interactions got removed or your normal day-to-day life got changed, you took it for granted. I don't mean to say it in a bad way, but we take these small things for granted. We get being able to see our friends for granted. But then when COVID hit, we were stuck in the house, able to see our friends. So now, when I get to see my friends, it's a blessing. I mean, you should always see it as a blessing, but man, look for blessings in all scales. I'll say that, put it that way. So after this encounter with God in the wilderness, God stays with Ishmael, make sure he's grown and things are going well for him. And it's just proof that God stayed with Ishmael and Hagar, made sure he's blessed, made sure he's well. God kept his promise. You got to let go because you got to know that God keeps his promises. God's going to take care of it. There's no need to stress. And I'm saying that as a big stressor myself and a big overthinker. And it's something I'm still working on. But guys, it's okay. You can let go and give it to God. That's the message today. That person that you're worried about, let go. Maybe from theater. Okay, let's put let go in two different things. You could say remove them from your life, per se, or let go of that emotional burden that you may have. Because I know I've experienced both, and I've learned to remove the emotional burdens that I put on myself as a result of worrying about others, and it's made things better. And I've also experienced having to let go of people in my life and like cutting them off and getting rid of them. Well, get rid of them is crazy to say, my bad. Getting them out of my life. That still sounds crazy to say, but you get the point. I'd say that's those two types of letting goes. But yeah. Learn to let go. Trust that God will take care of them. And most importantly, hold on. I forgot to say this. When I worry about people, I pray so hard for them to the point of tears. Like the Bible says, just not seize, pray without ceasing. I don't cease until I see results. Even after I see results, I keep on praying about it. Like, let me think of an example. I'm not going to say their name. I have a friend that's been going through some stuff recently. Emotionally, mentally. And I've been so worried about them. And I wish that, like, I could always look after them and care for them. But reality's always smacked me in the face and said, Nate, you got other things to do. Like, you got a life to live. I've never allowed somebody else's circumstances to interfere with my life. I lied. There's definitely points in my life where I've done that. But, like, I've learned from my mistakes. Like, I pray for them. I pray so hard. And I see them doing better. And, like, I thank God in that moment. Like, so thankful that God answered my prayers. When God answers your prayers, that's the ultimate tee up. That was the ultimate hype moment. Pray for the person or that thing you're worried about. That's the only thing you can do. You cannot change the circumstance. You cannot change them. You could be an influence. You could be an example. You could be a role model. But the most important thing you can do is submit it to God and give it to God and pray for them. Nothing more, nothing less. Well, if anything more, you could pray a lot more than you usually do. Pray for that person, that thing. Pray. Just pray. And be a loving individual. Be the person that the Bible and that God has told you to be. Love, pray, repeat. I think that's all for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening and bearing with me. That said, my name is Nate Estrada. I'm the host of the Imperfect Podcast. I will have weekly episodes every Saturday. Like I said, next time we're going to continue talking about Genesis, continue talking about Abraham. I'm in the midst of studying Exodus right now, and there's a few other topics I want to talk about, so I'll see if I study the Bible in those topics as well, because I want all my episodes to be, I want all my points to be based on the Bible, less of like my experience and like what I've seen, even though I will incorporate those. But Bible come first. Make sure you're reading your Bible, make sure you're drinking water, praying, exercising, eating food, studying, getting air, touching grass, treating yourself to your favorite meal and whatnot. Make sure you love yourself today. Thank God today. Tell someone you love them. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Be blessed. Enjoy your day or night.